Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan. Y'all ask if I'm a KU fan. KU lost to Arizona State, Dusty. I don't care. I was just getting a lot of flack last week, to go back to our story about Deion that we just talked about, that K-State was going to have a better year than Colorado. And I made a couple bets with people. So, K-State, Colorado, that's where it lies.
And Arizona State's 8-2, number 21 in the country right now.
Oh, that's right. KU beat Iowa State. That's what it is. They beat Iowa State when we're at the landing.
Right. Iowa State. That's right.
Yeah, Iowa State.
And then they beat ranked BYU last week. And now everybody's walking around Lawrence like they've arrived. You forgot September and October existed. I mean, like.
But they lost all their games in the fourth quarter.
I don't care.
Right.
You lost. What's the matter?
Yeah. Yeah. So my bad. Iowa State's who KU beat. My bad.
They got Colorado this weekend.
2:30 at Arrowhead. Can't wait. That's when my Saturday is going to start, fellas.
Everybody's talking upset. Don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, it should be a good game if KU really is playing to the capability they could play at.
Yeah.
Deion did turn that team around, though, from last year to this year. Added some pieces, got more transfers.
Turned the whole university around, bro. turned the whole university around.
I would just go to Colorado because, one, it's Colorado, and two, it's in Boulder.
Yeah, it's a
Boulder's
beautiful place.
Awesome.
How they have never been able to sustain success in sports. They had legal weed before anybody, and they're in Boulder, Colorado.
Right.
And it's a beautiful place. Like, how they did not sustain them and the University of Illinois are two schools that I look at and I go, how are you ass all the time?
Well, that's, you know, back when you couldn't transfer, you had to stick at your team and all these sort of things.
I love the transfer portal. I love the fact that kids get to move around and do their thing, and it's freed guys up to play where they want to play and have some fun in college football. Like, it's great. College sports is great right now.
And to give you some reference to why that topic comes up, because the audio we play will do it again, and then yesterday on The Herd, Michael Irvin was a guest, and he said that Coach Prime would 100% accept the job if the Cowboys drafted Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, but the draft is in April. You hire coaches in January. I don't understand that one from Michael Irvin. You've got to hire the coach before you draft a player. And now you can fix the system, obviously. Eli Manning did, and you can, you know, orchestrate trades. But, like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're hiring a coach, like, January 10th, and the draft isn't until almost May.
We'll bring it back a little bit later. Plus, we'll talk about how the SEC is privileged. Tennessee Mack will chime in on that. But last night, I was disappointed, boys. I was texting you guys like it was a regular season baseball game in the bottom of the eighth. They had all three manager of the year candidates or the finalists on MLB Network. They were giving Q a lot of questions. They were asking about his turnaround, 30-game turnaround, playoff team, won a playoff series. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, guys, not quite enough to win manager of the year, as it went to Steven Vogt, which I think is a joke.
Yeah. All three that were available for manager of
definitely
the year.
Definitely wasn't going to A.J. Hinch.
He was not the guy. No, it should have been either A.J. Hinch or Q. Steven Vogt took over a team that was good.
And that's where I get it at, right? Like, that's won your division, and this is where I also get confused about these awards.
Is it void or vote? I don't even know.
Vote, void.
I don't know.
Should be void, his vote for the manager of the year.
Everybody kisses Cleveland's ass. What did that guy do to deserve manager of the year? He inherited a good team.
But again, like when you get coach of the year in the NFL, why do you get it?
Because you turned somebody around.
You had an unexpected season.
Yeah.
Did anybody in their right, sane mind have the Royals winning 30 games more than they won last year?
No.
Not me.
Nobody did.
Biggest Royal homer at the station. Own it. Only wear Royal blue-colored glasses. Didn't expect it.
No.
Right? All I was pining for all year was the cruise ship to be competitive until football season started. To say that I was like, oh, yeah, this is a playoff team. They're going to play the Yankees in the ALDS, have a chance to go to the ALCS. No. But apparently that didn't matter. And that, to me, is the biggest turnaround, biggest surprise season was Matt Cotrero. Everybody bought into his method.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about how he used bullpens throughout the season. He used it in the right way in the playoffs, got all the way to the ALDS, yeah. Lost the Yankees, ended up going to the World
Series. Who cares
about
any
right?
That? It was a 30-game turnaround.
Correct, which is where it needs to be.
No.
And the way I look at this is that, you know, Stephen Vogt or Voigt or whoever you want to call him got all the nice kitchen equipment mm-hmm. and all the nice food resources to make this nice meal. You weren't going to be like, oh, what's he going to turn this into? Matt Cotrero got hand-me-down silverware and a bunch of leftovers and made a damn good meal out of it. But yet this guy, well, you know what? He used brisket and pulled pork, whereas this guy made like sheet pan nachos with chopped meat. It was good, and I respect it because he turned nothing into something, but this guy's was just better because it was better because he won the division. Kiss my ass. Matt Cotrero deserved manager of the year.
Matty Q is our manager of the year. I'll say that. For this show, we're giving our manager a year award to Matt Cotrero.
Well,
so congratulations, Q. You won a cheese blanket,
you
right?
You deserved it.
You absolutely did. And if you wanted to make a case for A.J. Hinch, who had a great second half turnaround with his team, they won a playoff series as well. Mm. If A.J. Hinch won it over Q, I would sit here and listen to that and say, okay.
He cheated in Houston.
Hey, he did. He absolutely did. But Stephen Vogt didn't do anything.
And the sad part is Cotrero only got two votes.
That's embarrassing.
Like
it really
votes.
Is.
I think that's what it was.
But again, that's the fundamental problem with baseball.
Right.
We have allowed old writers with mustard-stained shirts who have no social skills to be the sole gatekeeper of who wins the awards and who gets into the Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball. And most of these baseball writers are so socially unacceptable that if somebody talks to them and is nice to them because they probably didn't have many friends, they're going to go ahead and vote for this guy or vote for this guy. And I was talking to somebody yesterday around the game of baseball, like this Voigt, whatever his name is, guy, very affable as a player, always was nice to the media and all this kind of stuff and makes people laugh and the uncomfortable media chuckle in press conferences. So they went and voted for a guy who inherited a team. It's like, you know, Matt Cotrero, if you want to use your cooking analogy, came in and had no ingredients to work with, and boy, he created one hell of a meal.
Right.
A.J. Hinch came in halfway through, the guy who was messing everything up, and created a great meal in the second half, saved the dinner, presented a great meal. Stephen Vogt came in, and he has like four sous chefs working in the back, and he sprinkled the parsley on top, and he gets all the credit for having this meal when it was nothing that he did. Cleveland is one of those teams where everybody kisses their ass, much like Tampa, and they don't win anything. Cleveland has no banners. Cleveland has no championships. Cleveland has nothing. But by God, let's give Stephen Vogt the manager of the year when he inherited the best situation possible. And at this time last year, if you would have asked anybody, Cleveland's going to win the division. They're going to be the only team in the American League Central that even sniffs the postseason. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we had three teams in there, one that was a 30-game turnaround and one that turned it around at the halfway point of the regular season. And these dopey baseball writers are giving the award to Stephen Vogt. I could have managed the Indians this year.
And we got a text here from the 816. The guy did it without four starters. LOL. Voigt's team was hurt all year. LOL. He won the division without his Reagans, Lugo, and Singer. Matt Cotrero won 30 games more than the Royals won last year.
Right.
Right? I understand. Cleveland had their bullpen all year. They didn't need starters,
clearly. They also had Jose Ramirez in the lineup.
And they had Class A, who was a Cy Young finalist.
The guy had a .6 right. ERA.
Yeah. And
not our fault he bombed in the postseason.
Not only that, they still had good starting pitching behind their two guys, Shane Bieber and the other one that was hurt. So their lineup was also healthy all year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the point being is, when you normally win Coach of the Year, the argument 816 here, if you'll hear me out, instead of
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They're just having the same stat. The point is, an unexpected season. The Royals damn near won their division.
Tony Peña got manager of the year for finishing third in 03. Right,
because he did something of the unexpected.
Right.
Matt Cotrero did this. Cleveland won their division last year. Yes, they were down a couple starters. The Royals were without their starting second baseman and their starting first baseman for about basically the second half of the season in the playoffs, essentially. He was playing with one thumb. So, I mean, again.
And he revitalized the career of Waka and Lugo for all intents and purposes.
And not only that, you look at this and you think about the patience of a manager and letting a young kid kind of take over as the face and the voice of a franchise, allowing that to happen and seeing how that expands and spreads throughout. That's a managerial duty. A guy that had a bullpen that was absolute dog poo until they went and got Lucas Irsegg and made some changes and somehow still survived.
Right.
So again, I understand that Stephen Voigt did what he did without two starting pitchers. He still had the number one bullpen in baseball, one of the best offenses in baseball, and took over a team that was expected to win their division.
It was a good
and
team.
They did.
It was a ready-made team. So he heated up a meal in the microwave and called it a day. Yeah, Q did get. And I will say this.
But he's our manager.
He's our manager of the year. We're going to present him with a cheese blanket at some point. But I will say this. Of all the awards that we were up for Cy Young, for MVP, and for manager of the year, I thought manager of the year was a slam dunk. I thought that was the one we'd win because I understand the Aaron Judge effect. I understand Tarik Skubal was pretty damn good this year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, probably not going to win those two, but we should win manager of the year. And we didn't even win manager of the year? That's bizarre.
You're in three major categories in Major League Baseball and your executive doesn't even win executive of the year.
Who got executive?
Or maybe they haven't done it yet, but it should be JJ.
I mean, I didn't see the nomination. Now, I will say, good job for the guy in Milwaukee, Pat O'Brien or whatever his name is, or Pat Lucas.
Yeah, the Irishman.
The Irish guy. Like that guy, I mean, that guy can drink, I bet, man. Like that, Pat Murphy. Everybody knows a Pat Murphy from a bar. Uh-huh. That guy exists in every bar, and I guarantee you Pat Murphy has been into a couple of bar fights before in his life. He looks like that type of guy, so I like him. I'll root for Pat Murphy every day.